So we come now to the reading of God's word. As we do, let us pray. Holy Spirit, come now in these moments and illumine us, illumine our hearts and our minds, burn within us with the zeal that you bring. Open us to what you would say to us, Holy God, through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture reading this morning comes to us from the first letter to the Corinthians in the 12th chapter, verses 4 through 13. Listen now to the word of God. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. You notice the theme here? To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Well, the title of today's sermon is Gifted. And I wonder, how many of you consider yourselves to be gifted in some way? Or perhaps you know someone you think of in that way. According to my dictionary, to be gifted is to have a special talent or ability, or to be exceptionally intelligent. I guess, you know, that's how many of us think of the word. Some might think that we are gifted according to the first definition, but not the second, or maybe the other way around. We might believe that we are amazingly artistic, but dumb as a rock. Or maybe think that we are brilliant, but have no artistic skill. Or perhaps some of us might think that we are a 10 out of 10 on both measures. Or in others, that we don't register on either scale. It begs the question, what does it mean to be gifted? Certainly we hear of people who are considered gifted according to the standards of this world. Might be the young child whose fingers fly across the keyboard. Maybe Christina was like that as a child. No? Or maybe it's the kid who graduates at 13 from college. We hear about those sorts. I remember hearing about a boy, this is a number of years ago, who started reading before he was 2 and started performing simple algebraic equations not long after that. He started a program to help children in other countries and as a result was nominated twice for the Nobel Peace Prize. And he said at the time that his goal was to earn 4 PhDs. Sound like any of your kids? No, me neither. Sound like any of you? Probably not. Well, there's a reason that people like that end up making the news. They are different from the rest of us, at least most of us. They're special in their abilities and distinguished by their accomplishments. And so they do receive particular attention and maybe often get special treatment. And most would probably agree that they are gifted. Well, the Apostle Paul writes about being gifted in our passage today from 1 Corinthians. And more specifically, he writes about what it means to be gifted in the context of the Christian community. And his definition of giftedness differs from that usual one in a number of ways. First of all, he says that everyone is gifted. Everyone. Not just certain standouts that we notice. Each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit. Did you notice, as the story of Pentecost was read, at least a part of it this morning by Karen, that the tongues of fire, representing the Spirit's gift, the Spirit's presence, it rests upon each person there. Each one. No one is left out. That's how Eugene Peterson puts it in his translation of this text. Nobody is left out. Everyone, he says, gets in on it. Isn't that great? Everybody gets in on it. So in the Christian community, being gifted is not a matter of being different or of being special or of standing out from the crowd. Instead, it means being just like everybody else. Turns our usual ways of thinking kind of upside down. It is clear, though, that the folks that Paul is writing to in that community at Corinth did not all share his views in this regard. And it seems like it's causing a problem. In fact, that's one of the reasons that he writes this letter to those people. There are some there, he says, who are uninformed when it comes to spiritual gifts. They need correction in their views, in their attitudes, and it seems also in their behavior. They have elevated some gifts of the Spirit above others, which means, of course, that they value what certain people have to offer to the community more than others, which can devolve into meaning that they value some people more than they do others. The attitude like that, it results in comparisons and even in competition, neither of which is good for the community of faith or for any community for that matter. And besides that, it appears that the gifts that they value most highly are the ones that seem most impressive, the ones that are most showy and flashy. And in that place, that was the gift of tongues. And so it is hardly without significance that in Paul's list of spiritual gifts that we read in this passage, where do tongues come? Dead last, right? In contrast to the ways of the world, he wants those Corinthian Christians to know that in the church, the gifts of the Spirit are not given to impress people or to single anybody out in comparison with others. They're not intended to invite attention or to warrant special treatment. After all, Paul tells them, everyone is gifted. So there were some at Corinth, it seems, who thought they were special, read that better, than others. And you can find people like that probably in almost any community, including even some church communities. On the other hand, it seems that there are always some who seem to believe that they are less gifted, or perhaps not really gifted at all. They might compare themselves with others and feel less than, inferior. Or they might take a look at themselves and consider their own talents and abilities and decide they really don't have much to offer. Well, both those who think that they are special when compared with others and those who believe they don't have anything to offer need to hear Paul's clear word. Everyone is gifted. In the Spirit's economy, nobody gets left out. Brian Kirkland, a noted preacher who was for many years the pastor at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York, put it this way: God has a gift for every one of us, men and women. I don't know why he didn't include kids. That's another story. God has given a gift to every one of us, he said, which is unique for his kingdom's purposes and for the service of the church. That's the key. And it's precisely Paul's point in this passage. Each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. A That's how Peterson puts it in the Message. And so then, the true measure of a gift, of any gift of the Spirit, is not its uniqueness, not its impressiveness. It isn't even the joy that it brings to oneself and to others, although those are certainly a good thing. But the gift's real value in the Christian community is determined by whether or not it builds up the body of Christ and furthers the work of the kingdom. It may turn out, in fact, that some of the most valuable gifts, at least in any one time or in any particular context, might be those that seem least impressive by the world's standards. For example, there are volunteers here in this church who faithfully set up for coffee hour and clean up afterwards. And by doing so, provide an opportunity for Christian fellowship. And they build up the community. There are people here who mow the lawn and take care of the facility, which is an expression of good stewardship of the church's resources. People behind the scenes, so to speak. There are others who give their gifts, of course, in more visible ways to teachers in our Sunday school classes, and certainly our musicians who lead us in worship. And there's Bob and Thad, who week after week sit in that little room back there, providing technical support behind the scenes, actually out of sight, but so necessary, right? And there are countless others, too many to name, and I'm sure if you just take a moment, you can think of somebody yourself who gives much of their time and talent and effort toward this church for whom you are grateful. And it might not be a bad idea to thank them. And Pentecost is a great time to do it. So I invite you to do that. It is the working together of all those gifts, of all these people's gifts, in their wonderful variety that enables the whole body to function. Brian Kirkland, whom I quoted earlier, noted that the individualism of our culture works against this ideal. In a sermon that he delivered at Princeton Seminary many years ago now, he pointed to the piano, where the then director of music, David Whedon, was sitting. Take it all apart, Kirkland said. Put it on a truck, and it is junk. Put the case together with the sounding board and the pegs, drawing the strings tight, almost to their tensile breaking. Then add some black and white keys in coexistent relationship, and put somebody like David Whedon at the keyboard, and life comes out of all those parts. Take away a few keys, and those gifts are not so good without each other. We forget in our highly individualistic age, he says, that the gift that you have is no better alone, and it is not as good alone without the other gifts of the black key, the white key, sounding board, pegs and pedals, and even the bench. Did you ever try, he asks, playing Rachmaninoff standing up? Most of us here haven't tried playing Rachmaninoff at all, probably, but standing up, I imagine, is more difficult. Paul employs the image of the body to make the same point. All the parts are needed, and all of them need each other. The foot no less than the head, the eye no less than the hand, as he says in the passage following the one we heard today. Giftedness does not single us out, does not make us special or better than others. It doesn't separate us in any way from those who are differently gifted than we are ourselves. Instead, in the church, being gifted is inseparable from what it means to be a part of the community. They come together. And all gifts in their tremendous and glorious variety are expressions, as we heard rather repeatedly, of the one Spirit. All have their source in God, and therefore they truly are gifts not something that we can achieve or attain. We can build on them, but they are given to us. And at bottom, we can take no credit for them. And so they should move us not to individual pride, but rather to common gratitude and to praise of God. So what then about us? What's our part in all of this? Are we simply passive receivers of those gifts? No. In closing, I want to draw your attention to the first two verses of this passage. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates them in everyone. These gifts, which are exactly that, gifts from God, are given out of grace. But there are also services and activities, expressions of our giftedness that require our participation and need our action. We're given gifts, but we must choose to use them. And that takes effort, and it takes time, which is probably the most precious commodity for many of us. It takes our time. We must decide to use those gifts in the service of God and God's church. It does nobody any good, after all, if you possess a wonderful, glorious, impressive gift and you fail to employ it for the common good. Somebody has a fire and doesn't share it, others might freeze. If somebody has a flame but will not offer it, others will remain in darkness. The same is true when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. So today is Pentecost. Spirit blows through us, among us, stirring us to action. Spirit comes as fire, lighting a fire, hopefully within each one of us here. It takes the gifts of each one here to become the church that Christ is calling you to be. Together. Each person has a gift. Everyone gets in on it, as Peterson says. And everyone benefits. May it be so. Let us pray. Holy, powerful, sovereign God, on this day we pause and remember the outpouring of your Spirit on that day so long ago, bringing the church to life, lighting within the community of faith a fire to spread the good news of Jesus Christ that eventually reached around the world. We pray that that same Spirit, that same fire, would move among us here, blow as the wind, igniting us, breathing within us, inspiring us to action. So may people use their gifts here for the common good. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.